I'll just roll it at you. Scott, tell us about the wooden shark behind you.
Oh, that's the old success from John Wooden. Something gifted by my dad, just talking about the success pyramid, how you build up on it.
There you go. Jeff, he's ahead of the game already. So tell me, Jeff, tell me a little bit about Level 4 Sports and Entertainment and what you do so that we can set the groundwork for you being an expert in what we're going to talk about.
Sure. We're registered investment advisors. Our firm's been around for about 20 years. We manage about $6 billion of controlled assets focused in the sports and entertainment industry, major sports, actors, producers, writers. And so our family office is not driven on anything cookie cutter, nothing from the institutional level down. We're trying to find the right clients to build that word you spoke about earlier called trust, which takes a leap of faith and then repetitive execution of promise. And we're blessed to have a great team of people that have been in the industry, been in the sports and entertainment game. And one advantage to have a professional that played pro ball for 15 years and has now been an advisor for 7 and 8 to talk to families and young men about what they're going to experience and what to expect. So,
you know, we talked a little bit off the air earlier today about the impact that COVID-19 has had on the entertainment industry in general and sports in particular. And it's been pretty massive. And I don't think a lot of people understand it because they think about the player, they think about the staff, they think about the person with the hot dogs, they think about the parking attendant. Who are they missing?
They're missing a lot, actually. A lot of people haven't realized is from an unemployment standpoint, especially on the entertainment side, LA County's sitting the better side of over 63-64% unemployed right now. And a lot of these stadiums and arenas and retail centers were underwritten by bond issuances based on the revenue that they could generate. And if fans aren't coming to arenas and the consolidation that's happening in industry, it's putting investors at risk also that maybe thought, hey, the LA Clippers and LA Lakers will be playing in the Coliseum forever. And then maybe not so much. Maybe they're all playing in Disney World. So a lot of ripple effects in that way. A lot of ripple effects, again, staying on the entertainment side, you're seeing big-time production companies have to spend tens of millions of dollars to postpone releases like the James Bond movie, for instance. And it cost a $50 million loss. Broadway's lost the better side of $80 million a month since February. The better side of $400 million of an industry that may not return. And it's disappointing. And again, look at the movie theaters. People rushing back to the beach is one thing for outdoor air. I don't see as many people rushing back to a movie theater, and movie theaters are often anchor tenants in retail centers. So now we've got owners of retail centers where they're not capturing rent from clients like LA Fitness or MovieCo or others and saying, sorry. So there's also been very big material changes in the timing of seasons. The revenue spends in the media department, the better side of $12 billion a year that professional basketball makes, $6 million of it is on media spends that happen in May. Well, guess what didn't happen in May? Nobody put their money on the table. Broadcasting in and of itself could be a thing of the past, right? It's become a pressure that even young men making decisions, and Scott can speak to this on baseball, as they're transitioning, they're not getting all of their signing bonuses up front. So the plans of security or helping out the family or an understanding of what they can afford to do, or maybe they should go to college, right? A lot of material changes on that side.
You deal with a lot of football players. What's going on with the NFL and the draft and the bonusing and all that stuff? Is the NFL still rolling, at least financially, in a similar format to it, the way it usually operates?
The NFL is somewhat blessed, other than having to change the draft component of not where it was held so much so, or guys walking across the stage. Their time of season, right now the biggest delay they've had is getting rookies into rookie camps and then transitioning to introduction of veterans. They're also seeing a lot of different protocols handed down in regards to who can show up at the facility and what time to do what. The NFL seems to be in a much better place than baseball at this juncture. Basketball is definitely up against it as well. You've seen the time of the draft changes and the economics. for veterans and for rookies. It's not just young guys coming in, but there's guys in free agent years saying, why would I risk health if you're taking away 50% of 50% of 20% of my money? So decisions are being made over finances now where maybe an athlete would have persevered through, but in this instance, they're actually weighing out health versus earnings.
You know, it seems as though just from afar that baseball is committing suicide. Maybe we would bring Scott in here for a second.
Scott,
tell me what's going on here, because baseball has always had the strongest union of all the sports. The players have always been able to really exert a lot of pressure on the owners. It looks like they're at a stalemate right now and that the season is beginning to be threatened.
Yeah, I mean, I was a union rep for several teams that I played for and involved in a lot of the CBA agreements and everything that was going on. And there's a lot of posturing. There's a lot of variables that the normal public doesn't even understand about, how long the media is allowed in the clubhouse or, the way you can wear your pants. I mean, it's everything is a negotiation point. And it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, Tony Clark is a tremendous man. He was actually a teammate of mine. And he's up against it. You know, you got a demographic of player that's never dealt with a lockout or a significant, work stoppage in the game. The owners have systematically gotten rid of all those guys. And the real concern is cohesiveness. Are they going to stay together? Are they going to stand their ground? You know, the owners never gave really the players any involvement in the revenue gains from the industry, but yet now want them to, accept some of the revenue losses with salary reduction. So it's kind of interesting to see how things are spun back. But, I think the country needs baseball. I mean, we need sports. People are jonesing for it. You're seeing going back to watch old replays, but it needs to be done in an effective manner. And it's just going to be interesting.
Now, tonight's the Major League Baseball draft. They've shortened it from 40 rounds to 5. That I guess a lot of people will be undrafted free agents. They're going to have to make tremendous business decisions. It used to be that they could get upwards of $100,000, $150,000 more. Now they can only get $20,000. It seems to me that would benefit the college baseball programs, but maybe not. What's up with that?
Well, you're seeing, we've been talking to a lot of college coaches that honestly their recruiting has changed. They've been stuck in limbo because you're starting to notice that kids that typically would have gone into pro ball in the 6th to 10th round are now coming into college and are ability-wise better than some of the sophomores, juniors, and seniors. So I've been talking to some JUCO coaches that are getting a lot of Division I transfers, legitimate players. Coaches like Metcalf at Florida State are saying the talent level at the D1 college is going to be much better than it's probably ever been in history. But also, too, you look at a guy that's, potentially a sixth rounder, doesn't get drafted this year. Does he go to a 3-year school and sit out the draft for 3 years, or does he go to a JUCO where he then, what we call JUCO at the time, now it's State College, and enter the draft the next year. So, yeah, there's a lot of decisions that are being made, from an economic standpoint, education standpoint, everything.
Now, the draft has changed. What's the impact going to be at the top of the draft? Will there be an impact?
I think the slotted part of it is going to be staying the same. I mean, that's within the collective bargaining agreement, that's involved in that. But, the signing bonuses, Jeff commented on earlier, you only get 10% year one, 45 year two, 45 year three. So the topic of conversation that we've been talking about is, are the agents going to start allocating money to these guys knowing that they got a guaranteed, chunk of money coming? I don't see the slots changing, like I said, but it is going to have a factor, I would assume.
Let's take a quick break, and then we're going to come back. We're going to bring Jeff back into the discussion. We're going to talk about some of the other sports, and we're also going to talk about the way that Jeff and his team focus their investment strategy and the impact that it has on their clients. Stick with us. That'll be some great stuff that you'll probably want to apply to your own self as well. So, Reagan, take it away. If you're looking to buy or lease a car, you want to get every advantage that you can. That's why you have to check out Warren Henry Land Rover, Range Rover, Infiniti, and Jaguar. They're all exceptional cars. It all comes with complimentary service loan and dynamic wheel protection, key replacement, guaranteed purchase offer, best value guarantee, and 72-hour exchange. You can take your car for 3 full days to be certain that you love your Warren Henry vehicle. If you don't, you can return it. So join me, my mom, and my beautiful wife, Vivian. We're all members of the Warren Henry family. You should be too. Always the best price. Always the best service. I love them. Always Warren Henry. And also choose me, Jim Freed, if you need a mortgage. Give me a call at 305-773-6300. I'm working with a lot of my friends right now. They don't have W-2 income. They say, Jim, I can't get a loan. Wells Fargo says no. I say, yes, you can. Give me a call. I'm getting people loans right now. Rates are tremendous. They're lower than they've been in history pretty much. So give me a call, 305-773-6300. We can lower your payment. We can bring cash up. We can help you get the best deal if you're buying a home. And hey, if you're doing commercial, we got lots of bridge loans. Ground construction for commercial deals is still available. Give me a call at 305-773-6300. Why? Because when you call me, it's all about you.
Welcome back to Freed on Business. Connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at Jim Freed or at Freed on Business, and on Instagram at Jim Freed One. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
We are back. We are here with my good friend, Jeff Glossman. He is the practice director for Level 4 Sports Entertainment. He has brought with him Austin Murphy, who heads up their baseball division. We're talking about tonight's baseball draft. We're talking to Jeff about a whole bunch of investment things. Jeff, let's go back to you. Is there a similarity to the investment structure that you give to the different ball players and entertainers? Do you basically give them the same strategy, or do you customize it based on their sport and their age and stuff like that?
Yeah, it's everything we do is customized. Every client is different. Every person is different. Every scenario is different. The ages vary. The family dynamics vary. And the financial literacy varies. So we have to make sure we're not putting our clients in harm's way. Most of them are making more money every year while they're in this world of entertainer or athlete. So to grow their money is not our primary objective. It's to preserve, protect it, and make sure that their cash flow when they transition out of that life into civilian life is successful so they don't end up broke or bankrupt in 7, 12, or 19 years, which the statistics suggest that they will if they don't have the right financial planning, cash flow and budgeting, and investment discipline. So that's what we focus on there.
You know, lots of people watch the movie Jerry Maguire. They all think being a sports agent or a financial advisor to sports people and entertainers is really sexy. First, I want to talk about the difference between the financial advisor and the agent. Is that the same thing?
No, certainly not. The agent's job is to make sure that their client is getting the proper training, the proper path towards draft, the proper understanding of the interview process, the best marketing or endorsement deal possible. and to stay, if you will, between the church and state of it. And the financial advisor and wealth management team job really is looking at the disciplines of the CFP model. It's cash flow, insurance, investments, estate planning, right down the line, and really dealing with everything economics, making sure that if they're getting endorsement deals from their agent, that they have the right corporate structure to get the right tax benefit, making sure that that cash is being deposited so the flow through happens the way it should, and making sure they've got the right accountant from a tax filing standpoint, and making sure they've got an attorney, whether it's a basic will, a medical surrogate, or more complex estate planning like a trust or a CRAD or a CRUD, et cetera.
Yeah, that's really important. Even in my world, the way you structure your business organization can save
sure.
a lot of money, and a lot of people don't realize that. Jeff, let's talk to Austin again a little bit about baseball. Baseball is having a problem. Is baseball going to be able to come back from this, Austin? I mean, they've had the strike, they've had the slowdown. Now they've got major market teams always building and other teams always tanking. So it's like 30% of the product stinks. Does baseball realize it needs to make big structural changes to beyond appeal to younger people, to hold on to people like me? And look at me. Look at me in the background. Come on.
Baseball's American pastime. I mean, it's survived a lot of different things throughout the history of the United States, from wars to, other epidemics, everything. 9/11, and it's always come back. I mean, there's a DNA draw to it from a lot of people. I mean, that's one thing I noticed as a player. It was, whether we were in Anaheim or Japan, when I was with the Yankees, I mean, we were always the home team. And people would tell you the stories of going to see, watch games and watching Mickey Mantle and everybody play when they were a kid. And, I mean, that just doesn't go away, So I think, yes, will it come back? Yes, it will over time. I mean, when baseball was dealing after the labor strike with, the fans really just having a disgust and a disconnect with them, it took the Sosa McGuire home run challenge to bring it back. And there's always been something. And again, it goes back to just that draw, the draw of competition, the allure of the professional athlete. So, yes, will there be changes? There's going to be. I was talking to an ex-Yankee the other day, and the protocol that they're putting in place for the COVID and the testing and the structure of social distancing in the clubhouse and in the dugout and everything else and roster size. And he looked at me, he says, man, I'm glad I don't play now. And I agree. I mean, it's going to be a totally different experience than what we did when we played. Not to be able to leave the hotel at night, only be able to go to the lobby in a certain time of the day. Who you're allowed to have around you, the impact not just on your family, because it's not just that you're tested, periodically, but everybody that you come in contact is. And that goes not just from the player, but even the staff in the field. It's going to be a big change.
Another question, and I'm not really up to speed completely on this, but it certainly seems like the owners have made their offer to the players in such a way that they would be pitting certain groups of players against each other. Looks like they're really gutting what they're going to pay the big ticket guys. I mean, Mike Trout getting just a couple million bucks and stuff. So it seems very strange that they would be doing that. What's behind their strategy? And I didn't realize you were a player rep. I'm asking harder questions now this day.
Well, it's, if I had the answer to that question, what's behind their method, I wouldn't be in the seat that I'm in right now. I'd be working with the owners. But, the goal and the misconception to most of the fans are, well, the less the players make, the lower the ticket prices, the lower concession stand costs, all that are going to be. And unfortunately, that's not the truth. The money's going in someone's pocket, whether it's the owners or, I hate to say it, the players. And it's not that either side is trying to screw over the normal, everyday fan. It's just it's a supply and demand issue. So, the owners have had their tactics to try to break the union. I mean, this is just another tactful way to do it. You can start turning the guys on themselves. It's the surefire way to do that. So, other than that and seeing the tactics they've taken through the years, I mean, even when it was the the drug policy, you know, when Congress got involved and they really came at the union to be able to implement a real strict drug policy. You know, there's been several things that the owners have used. And like I told you before, it's all in a negotiation. I mean, we literally 1 year were trying to get the media out 3 minutes before the start of the game. So we had 3 more minutes to get ready. And it was a month and a half long battle. And that's a lot of the behind the scenes that people don't realize.
Last thing I want to talk about baseball is the contraction of the minor leagues. You know, you say baseball is the American pastime, and many of these minor league ballparks and ball teams are integral parts of their club, you know, culture, their community's fabric. I mean, the Durham Bulls from the, you know, the TV, the radio movie and stuff like that really is the way it works out there. Now they're going to cut 40 of those teams. Mm-hmm. There's a whole lot less jobs.
Yeah.
You know, a whole lot of opportunities for guys to come out of the Pioneer League, you know?
There is. It's going to be much harder to make it. You know, they did from my understanding, they did a study and they showed the odds of a guy drafted from the sixth round and lower to make it were so minute, you know, that, yeah, you're going to take the chance of losing the Mike Piazzas of the draft, but it's an economic maneuver. You know, they're going to have to spend less money. You know, for every one guy that makes it, they have to employ, you know, 12 to 15 other guys to field teams. And it's, you know, it's a big economic outlay of cash. So, yeah, I mean, from the American pastime within all these small Bull Durham cities that are going to lose this to the economic fallout of jobs it's created and everything else. Yeah, it's going to be a shift. It's going to be sad to see that. And then from the fewer amount of guys that get the opportunity to chase a dream, it's going to suck. And that's, I mean, I help with my alma mater, and I hate to say it. We went from potentially two or three guys having an opportunity to go to college that I had to have a straight up conversation, said, I'm sorry, but under the new era, you don't fit the parameters anymore. You know, you're not good enough. And it's a very hard conversation to have with people. Because again, even on their end, if a guy potentially goes to college but has aspirations to play but not the athletic ability, he can still get his college paid for or a portion of it. So now economics from that family of, wow, okay, now he can't get that done by playing athletic. I mean, he's got to now, the parents got to come up with the cash. So it's a huge trickle down.
I want to thank you guys for being on the show. Jeff, why don't you give us the final word on what the future holds for mass seating public entertainment events?
A lot of content going to be getting streamed online. I think a lot of, if you look at the client base that attends these games, there's a demographic there that is highly susceptible. You know, the 70 and over crowd. Don't see you hanging out at Miami Dolphin games anytime soon, especially when sports comes back around in the fourth quarter, which, according to people a lot smarter than me in medicine, is going to be a time that a second wave would show up. We've got to take a very conservative stance and make sure that our clients understand the volatility is not going anywhere. The market and the economy have a major disconnect. Okay. And people need to keep their heads stable. This euphoria because the stock market's almost back at highs, the amount of companies going out of business and the unemployment component and the amount of COVID cases going up, the perfect storm still exists. We're just in the eye of it, in my opinion. And that's how our team looks at it every day.
Well, that's tremendous. I would always want my financial advisor to be playing defense rather than offense.
That's right.
I want to thank Austin, and I want to thank Jeff for coming in from Level Sports and Entertainment. I want to thank Jared Ringel, the founding agent for the Atlas team at Compass Realty in Florida. I want to thank the folks at Levy Communication for bringing us Jared. But most importantly, I want to thank you, the listener. Without you, I wouldn't have a show. I want to thank our first responders as well. Without them, we'd be in big trouble. Thank you to our sponsors, Warren Henry Automotive, Creco AI, Carlson Integrated, Turkel Brands, the NFL Alumni Association, and the Bergstrom Center for Real Estate Studies. I want to thank you, my listener. Thank you so much. Go to our Facebook page, like our show, tell our friends, tell your friends, join our communities, give us feedback and comments. Tell us who you want to hear from or if you liked hearing from people like Jeff. Tweet at Jim Freed of Freed on Business, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, The website, believe it or not, gets 5,000 to 7,000 unique visits a week. I'm the man. If you missed today's show, it'll be up on freedombusiness.com ASAP as soon as Regan gets it done. Remember, this is Jim Fried for Freedom Business. Look for us on 880 a.m. next Wednesday at noon. We're going to interview the head of the CVB, the Miami Convention and Visitors Bureau. We're going to talk about Miami opening up. Bill Talbot will be here. That's right. Remember, the person wants to do something finds a way. The other finds an excuse. Now go out there and make it happen.